Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, British lady, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars for the date of June 9th, 2021. Now batting for Dr. John Stamey, I am your fill-in host, Dave Atwell, coming to you this evening from a balmy, mosquito-infested Wednesday night here in Jacksonville, North Carolina, hoping these mosquitoes will not carry me off during the show. If you hear a lot of girls shrieking, somebody call the authorities. I have been carried off by the vermin floating around the backyard tonight because we have got some stuff flying around here because the storms got them all stirred up. But we will persevere. By God, I will have my cigar and drink on the deck regardless of these prehistoric insects flying around my home tonight. So, to pass it along to my most esteemed and wonderful panel this evening, start off with Arkansas's best, Granny Hulkster. How are you this evening, ma'am?
Well, I'm good. I'm glad to be back. Things have been a little crazy. My schedule's been a little crazy, but, you know, that's just the way life goes sometimes. But I'm glad to be back with y'all.
Outstanding. Yeah, we missed you last week. And glad to hear you did your safe travels and everything and got back in one piece and got the job done as usual. But it's definitely good to have you back this evening and to hear your voice again.
Well, I'm going to be traveling again. Like, let's see, we leave Tuesday on the 29th because I really don't want to drive 10 and a half hours in one day. So we're going to probably drive 5 or 6 hours Tuesday, stop for the night, and drive into Covington, Kentucky for our international convention for the Moose, which starts on, I'll be getting into Covington, Kentucky on June 30th, and our meetings actually start the 1st of July. So my husband and son's going to be going, so we're going to just make a little family vacation out of it.
Well, yeah, 11 hours worth of driving. That's, and not to show the age at all, but back in the day, that was no sweat. But nowadays, I got to actually think about it before I travel that long.
Well, with my history of blood clots, you know, that I've had over the past years, even though I haven't had one since 2014 that I know of, you know, I have to get out and stretch my legs ever so often. And that's the nice thing about cruise control, guys. I can set my cruise control and I can sit there and wiggle my legs and move my feet. That way, if I don't want to stop every 2 hours, I don't have to.
You can do the Elvis in the driver's seat while you're driving along. Yeah, good deal. And you have a new addition to the family. So if you'd like, please fill us in on the new bud.
Well, his name is Rex. He is about 1 year old. He is, they said he's German Shepherd and Great Pyrenees. He's got the curly tail, you know, like a Pyrenees. I can't really see other than the tail, you know, much Pyrenees in him. He's kind of a tan-colored dog, a little bit of white in his paws, but he's a beautiful fur baby. Anybody that has seen my picture of him on Facebook, you know, that's our new fur baby, because I had to take my Basset Hound to the vet the other day. She was limping really bad, and we thought at first she had broken her leg or her foot, because she was just kind of just dragging her foot really bad, and come to find out, she just had a really bad case of arthritis, so they gave her a couple days worth of pills of anti-inflammatory medication, and by the third day, she was walking better, but that first day, she just wasn't quite sure what to think of Rex, because he wants to play, and Maggie's like, hey, I'm 16 years old. I mean, I still get around pretty good for my age, but I don't want a roughhouse, you know. So she'd bark at him, and she'd chase him, and you know, he kind of starts sniffing at her again, and she got him and chased him again, you know. But the last couple of days have been pretty good, you know. They've been, you know, getting along for the most part pretty good. So, but he lays by our gate, by our one gate, by our bedroom window, and that's just where he lays. He won't go lay in the doghouse. He likes to stay outside. I guess he thinks he's the guard dog now, because every little noise or sound or movement he sees or hears, he's like right at that gate barking, you know, at early in the morning, or growling at something, you know. But so I guess he thinks he is our guard dog. So, but he's very loving. He's very, 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 I guess that's the shepherd in him. He's very loyal, very protective. But I guess he's kind of figured out, hey, this is my new home, you know. So he wasn't sure what to think of my son, though. You know, my son's like 6'4". He just wasn't sure what to think of Anthony when he saw Anthony the other day. But I'm sure the more time he sees Anthony, you know, he'll be okay with Anthony too. But that first day it was like, okay, you're big, you're tall. I don't know if I like you or not.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, you got to think for the dog's sake. You know, new home, new surroundings, new people, new everything. There are those of us who go to first day on the job and we're nervous. Imagine just everything being changed on one day. So, yeah, it takes a little. There's a learning curve to it. And I'm sure Anthony will buddy up, and the two of them will be inseparable by the end of the month. So,
Well, Anthony, you know, has his own place, you know, so he won't see him every day. But, you know, I'm sure the time he does spend with him, he'll get to make a new friend, you know. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know when we brought Mika home, because Sadie's 4, Misty's 5, and Mika is now, I want to say, 8-9 months old. And when we took Sadie to the vet, she actually lost 7 pounds. Because that puppy had been running the hell out of him. So, yeah, she dropped seven chunks. So, yeah, I can understand where the puppy energy is definitely getting the older dogs worked up and going, hang on, I don't go at that speed, you know. But, yeah, good to hear Rex is settling in, and definitely good to have you back this week for show. So, my brother, up there in Indianapolis, again, away from home here in Jacksonville, Todd Saxon, what is going on? And good to have you back, too, young man.
Oh, I'm absolutely happy to be back. I'm out doing outstanding, supernatural, and ecstatic to be here. The, man, I don't know, it feels like about 500 million little things going on. And out of that mass number, maybe one or two things somebody give a rat's behind about. It's just the way it is. Things going all kinds of different directions. I have something I want to give a couple shout-outs right off the bat. One, Tim will not be joining us on the call tonight. He mentioned part of the reason why last week, while some trepanning for his wife. Everything's going well on that side. Everything's looking good so far, but it's got him worn out, so I thought I'd mention that. And I got to give a shout-out to the Fallen Outdoors veteran organization geared for primarily hunting, fishing-type outdoor stuff, but they're, you know, they do a bunch of great things. They'll help people that have let folks utilize their property. They'll help do cleanups. They'll help do, you know, either wetland, wet or dry. They'll help with that kind of stuff. Put in the drawing. Apparently, I've won a. They'll have the local guides for us have a shot going up to Minnesota in August to go chasing walleye. So that's pretty cool. Pretty excited about that.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah, seriously, they got to be going up to Lake Traverse it's on the Minnesota and South Dakota border. And I make sure, given them up there in the land of 1,000 lakes, and I understand there's actually over 1,100 of them. I think I had happened to see that stat like a week before I won this thing, just weird. I asked them for the, since you were fussing about the mosquitoes, I asked them, you know, hey, how many quarts per person for bug spray? And, yeah, because, I mean, that, yeah, it, we all know how it is. I mean, the thing that makes Jacksonville bad is mosquitoes can live pretty much year-round. They really do. You'll have them in December. It's insane. But up there, boy, that's all those wetlands, and we know how long those darn mosquito larvae will be out there. So it'll be, I imagine, the mosquito probably looked like the cicada hatchings going on. Just saying.
Yeah, that's, well, you seen one of them got hold of old Sleepy Joe on the neck the other day, popped them right in the neck, and those cicadas are not small, so when they get near you and they one of them bangs off your forehead, you realize it. So we haven't seen any of them here, knock on wood. Of course, I say that, and I'll get swarmed by them this evening. It'll be like the damn Ten Commandments during the show or something. But, yeah, those things right there ain't no joke. So, before we press forward, Todd, I would like you, if you would, sir, to make the official announcement of a very important birthday that's happening tomorrow, sir, if you would.
Oh, you know I would. One of the other people that's not hanging around with us quite at the moment, and I know he had, company in town, and he was just, oh Lord, he was wound up early today. Just saying, blown up IMs and texts is the one, the only, the amazing Velvet brother. Tomorrow's thine birthday, so let's make sure we get it out there. Big hugs, brother. Way to rock in another one.
Yes, most definitely.
Happy birthday.
Here. You got it. Happy birthday, Velvet. And got some good news coming out of his camp. And, you know, that the tests weren't heading in the wrong direction. They were pretty much stable. So it wasn't forward progress, but it wasn't backward progress, which is probably more important at that point. So it's good to hear that.
Yes, and that's true, and I want to jump on that because apparently we said his name too many times like Beetlejuice, because guess who's in the queue?
Ah, very good. Well, you keep on talking for a moment, Todd. I'm going to go inside Atwell Manor and click that button.
But, I mean, look, we said his name a couple times, and boom, he's there. It's like Beetlejuice. I kid you not. Wow. You can't make this stuff up. Wonder if his ears were burning, because I know it'll take old Diamond Dave.
I don't know. They might have been. They must have been.
Hey, I'm here. It's Pride Month. Everybody get ready. Listen, I heard that you had a nice military man. I love him, Butch, and I know Todd's on here.
Oh, Lord.
Listen, Todd, I was in Bill Clinton's military. Don't ask, don't tell. Hey, Sarge, you want to get in a foxhole with me?
Hey, you know what? It started really early this morning with you, so, yeah, this is like the fifth time I've said it today, midget porn.
As I know. Somebody texted me earlier and said that. I was like, oh, Lord. Didn't even get out the gate. Already got midget porn going on. Midget porn.
It's
midget
already
porn,
there.
Safety word.
Yes.
No,
well,
but I had a buddy of mine who's. Yeah, I had a buddy of mine who's originally from Terre Haute, was in the Navy, was stationed here in Charleston, and now lives in Evansville, Indiana. And he's down here in Myrtle Beach, and he came to Charleston to visit. So we just got finished eating at the Charleston Crab Shack, and I hurried home. I scurried home to be on the show.
Ah, very good.
Oh, I like it. Well, if it's a crab, well, I love it. The Navy crabs and, you know, both the sea life and the kind that run rampant on the ships. And I noticed you said scurried instead of scuttled because that can be a bad thing for the Navy folks. So, all right. I like it.
But crabs scurry, too. We all learned that on SpongeBob. So, I mean, it all comes together, man.
Except we ate Squidward. We had some calamari.
Poor Squidward. You know what? For the Navy guy, that would be cannibalism.
Oh, well.
Because I know Jarhead, we call them squid.
That's right. That's true.
Oh, well.
That is true.
Listen. You know I love a man in uniform, and I love being on that submarine. Up periscope, down periscope. Up periscope, down periscope. Hey.
Especially when Stevens involved, right? Mm-hmm. Oh man. Ejaculation joke. All right. That's why I'm PG-13, kid. Very good.
Right. You gotta stop. Stop.
That joke is a little premature. I'm sorry.
Hey, Tim. Hey, where's Tim at?
Yeah, he's got the hall pass for the.
Okay. I guess we can let him have that.
Yeah, he's.
Save it
for
later,
right? Passed at everything. Yeah. I had passed it. Everything's tracking, going well enough. My last update was about midday or whatever, but I just went ahead and reminded him because he's trying to cheat and do some get some work stuff in while he's away from work. Imagine that. It's kind of his work ethic. But he's doing all right. I know he's just wore out along with the rest of the family. We were just talking about you when you jumped in the queue.
Oh, yeah.
We were. Yeah.
Did you have to use the safety word again?
Well, we figured your ears were burning, which is better than your urinary tract burning. Still.
Good Lord. There's a shot for that, Todd. If you don't know that already, there's a shot for that.
I guess it's better than trying to use mercury in there. Good grief.
What was up? What were y'all saying?
We followed the naval stuff. We brought up Blackbeard in a way there. But all right. But, yeah, we did mention we all know it is indeed your birthday tomorrow, brother.
Yes, it is. It is.
Happy birthday.
Thank Most you. Definitely. Big 5'4" tomorrow. Big 5'4".
Look at that.
God, I remember when I did that.
Yeah, okay. Calm down, sir.
Hey, I'm happy I can remember something that far back.
Listen, I'll make sure I give you a feathered boa when I come see you. It's all good.
Oh, none. I like it.
Yes. It's definitely
Lord.
Have yourself a very happy birthday, Velvet. And good to hear things are heading in the right
direction.
Stable. Health-wise.
Right. Yeah, it's stable. Stable is good. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And so we take what happened, and it's not good, it's not bad, it's just where it's at. So we'll just leave it where it's at, and we'll move on. No, nothing's changed at all. So we'll just see where it goes, what happens. You stay par for the course, and that's all I can do.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Stay positive. Keep getting it.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, of course, our best going to Tim and his wife because, there's a lot going on there. And they are family. And wishing only the best to them. and hopefully everything comes through well. Because, that's just operating off good news these days. We don't need no bad news.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty of that floating around. So
absolutely.
Tonight's show will be somewhat of a serious one to a certain extent. And I'm sure somehow or another we will segue into, you know, popular kitchen decor for ancient Greek houses or something like that, like we always do. But nevertheless, I had a very interesting D-Day just this past June 6th. So I kind of wanted to open it up on this for two reasons. One, to kind of, how do I want to say it, get it off my chest to a certain extent, and then also kind of segue into tonight's topic. So I had posted, and D-Day is another one of those days that I believe here in the United States we don't recognize the importance of it. And I say the United States, really it should be a global thing. And, of course, I've never been. I would dare say that the French probably celebrate it a lot more than anybody does or appreciate it leastways. But to kind of set the tone for D-Day, prior to the invasion of Normandy, which D-Day is, the Nazi regime, the Reich, was pretty much running the table and had pretty much colonized, if you will, not necessarily colonized, but had militarily usurped almost all of Europe, heading into Asia, the Middle East, and Africa. And so in the meantime, you know, the United States, we were over here, for lack of a better term, minding our own business. And it just got to a point where something had to happen. And like I've often said, had the Americans not intervened on June 6th, only God knows how far Hitler would have gotten. Now, there's an argument, and I believe we discussed it on last week's show. You know, invading North America would have been a challenge for him, but he could have done it through the Hudson Bay area there in Canada, you know, because he had pretty much, even though Scandinavia was neutral, if you will, he had boats, he had Navy docked there, so it would have been a somewhat easy cruise across the Atlantic, go down the Hudson, invade Canada, and pretty much attack through the Great Lakes into the United States, given he wanted to do that. So, you know, it's a what if, but nevertheless, I could picture that happening had we not intervened. Now, the reason why I say all that is because when I posted something on Facebook, which was a picture of Normandy during the battle, and though it wasn't graphic, you can definitely tell what was going on. And oddly enough, I had people confusing it with Memorial Day. I had folks, I had one young lady who actually asked me to tell my dad, thank you for his contribution. And I'm like, well, you know, Pop was born in 47. He didn't fight in Normandy. You understand what D-Day is, you know. And not to take anything away from folks, but it's one of those days that I think folks have forgotten the impact and the importance of that day, because had the Americans not invaded that day, world history would have been
different,
perhaps totally different, yeah, to what we have right now. And so, you know, not to mention the fact that a lot of the gentlemen who fought at Normandy are younger than our children. You know, there was a lot of young men, 18, 19, 20 years old, that gave it all there on that beach that day. And that right there, they changed history. And it deserves the respect, and it deserves the knowledge of the sacrifice. So not to I am not knocking anybody who's not hip on D-Day history, and that's not my point, but I feel like it ought to be a little more commonplace for folks to know exactly what happened and why it happened and the sacrifice that was made by those young men and women at the time. Because, again, had that not happened, the world would be a totally, totally different place. So,
Boy, I'm going to wreck your history lesson. Uh-oh. Here. You know that. Right?
Please go ahead.
Before America got involved directly, we were heavy in the Lend-Lease program. Real heavy in the Lend-Lease program. And what was good about that is we had started ramping up production of different things. Now, mind you, for example, even before World War II was considered World War II, some of the dates might be close here. We had the folks over there in China doing the Flying Tigers thing. Because if you really want to do it, talk about it, somewhere around 1937, you can say World War II started when Japan was doing some of its annexing and issues going on there in China. By 1939, you know, before Hitler was doing some of those things in Poland.
Yeah, and they were doing some pretty awful stuff in China, too, just for the record.
Oh, yeah. There was some there was some nastiness. So I think my opinion, while it's not in the history books this way, a lot of that started back then. Not just with, I think most people realize they knew about the attack into Poland, and they actually forget that Poland was not just attacked by the Nazis, it was also attacked by the Russians.
Yes.
At the same time. Just, you know, little things that people tend to omit.
But had that not gone the way it went prior to World War II, Hitler wouldn't have such a stronghold in Europe and all that area had that not went down the way that went down. That opened the door for him to be able to do what he did later on.
Oh,
that's
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, they forget how he annexed Czechoslovakia. A lot of his early armor that was used for that infamous run through of France. France
right.
actually had more, better and heavier tanks. They just were garbage at employing them. And as far as part of it goes, they were using the Czech tanks. They had several men there that they were being used. But for World War II, once we started getting active and involved, of course, as much as we did in the Pacific with our naval forces, people forget the assets that were utilized to go into North Africa, to go to Sicily and go to the get in there on the boot of Italy, and the stuff we had going on in there, actively going. And I would say that by the time, and despite the heavy, heavy, heavy air campaign, the heavy bombing, the British were doing night bombing. We were doing the day bombing all through Germany. And just, I mean, despite the best efforts, Albert Speer and everybody else that was in there trying to separate everything for their German production facilities, and Germans just those synthetic blend oils and all that stuff, they were rocking and rolling that stuff back in World War II. That's nothing new, just for those that think it's a fairly new concoction.
Nope. It's been around.
We were sitting there really doing a number on their infrastructure, and we had people dying at a cyclic rate, and we had people taking off there. Now, my thought here is because Germany was actually already losing the land war against Russia by the time we landed in France. Maybe if we hadn't done that, we had just stuck to Italy and all that. I don't doubt that, and here's my different take on it, that I really believe this might be the case. I might believe that Russia would have just run not only all the way through Germany, so we wouldn't have had that East-West Germany thing going on. Makes me wonder if they would have felt like they didn't have the whole goal to go ahead and cover the whole continent.
Yes, sir.
Or at least most of the
stuff. If you recall, it was Patton was the one who called the shot and said, while we're here, we need to go ahead and take care of them Bolshevik bastards because we'll be fighting them sooner or later.
Exactly.
The quote was somewhere in that ballpark. And, you know, he was spot on with that. And, you know, is what you alluded to, Todd. I mean, you're right. And that's a very, very good point, because Stalin, as we've talked about on the show before, was very, very much the reason why the history books here in America don't paint him as they paint Hitler is because he was part of the Allied forces. But he starved his own people, killed his own people, and, you know, was a heinous, heinous ruler. And numbers-wise, made Hitler look like a bush leaguer, you know what I mean? But, again, the history books are written by the victors. But you have a very good point there. There would have been nothing that could have kept Stalin from already going through a weakened Central Europe. Because, like you said, France was already on its heels, Denmark. Italy was still Italy didn't know what it was going to be. And, of course, Spain and Portugal and Scandinavia would have been the, hey, we're neutral, but we'll make your ammunition, and picked right up where the Reich had left off. So perhaps the Reich would have been gone and communism would have been, you know, the thing. So, yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I think that may have been the biggest saving grace of D-Day is preventing that. But, yeah, we had a lot going on. Our folks, we learned some stuff the hard way down there at Kazarine Pass, just saying.
And, you know, that's
go ahead.
But that's what we wanted to touch on tonight's topic, was things that have happened in history, be them through combat or invention or whatever, that have changed global history. And, you know, let's be honest, I've cracked jokes on time to time about hurricanes here in the Carolinas. If you live in the Carolinas, hurricanes become blah after a while, and it's a lot of yard work. It's a lot of sweaty nights with no light, no power. It's a lot of beanie weenies eating out of a can cold. I would imagine.
See what you did there?
Wyoming,
yeah.
While we're
our
entire lives are being washed into the Atlantic, the folks in Wyoming are just going about their day. So it's affecting folks here in Carolinas, but it doesn't do anything for the folks in Wyoming. So
no.
when you talk about global effects, you want to talk about things that actually changed how things were going to where we're going now. And D-Day most certainly was one of those events, because as what Todd was alluding to, had that not happened, there is a shitload of scenarios that could be drawn up Had we not
too many, though.
Absolutely. And in all of Europe, the British, the French, the Danish, all of them were on their heels.
You're speaking Ruski.
Yeah. Could have been.
See, I agree with that. I agree with that sentiment. Go ahead.
Quick tangent. Saw my first, whether you want to call them lightning bug or firefly, just saw my first one of the year.
There you go.
Here up north. Yeah. Just one of those rites of summer things. And wanted to put something light. We're here at the bottom of the hour, and just past the bottom of the hour. Figured with that, can go ahead and slide in PSA and just say, just watching that, nature will find a way, and nature has its just most unique stuff. It really does. So nature may be a mother, since we're just talking on the weather. Mother Nature can do some beautiful stuff at the same time. And that's your PSA by Todd.
And the interesting thing about lightning bugs is that they use their turn signals more than people in the Onslow County do. Just saying.
I send those people out to play with the alligators here.
Yes.
Ah.
So. Yeah.
Actually, Velvet was getting ready to get on a roll when I did that, I think.
That's okay. If we're gonna finish that up, I would say, had none of that happened, Stalin would have kicked Hitler's butt, and I would say that Hitler would have been dead and gone. They would have killed him. They would have found him and killed him, straight up. He'd have been dead before anybody. But I really, going on what you said, Dave, that there's so many scenarios out there, but if you really look, the predecessor to World War II set up Hitler's success. Yeah, he may have looked like a Bush leaguer to Stalin. He didn't have to be the superstar. He just needed to go in at the right time. He needed to do his stuff the way he wanted to do his stuff and get it done. And that's what he did. He capitalized on others' mistakes. But he also created his own. But go ahead.
Yeah, but he found a way to create, and it's kind of scary because you're almost seeing the same thing happening here in the United States right now, where he created a social divide. And because if you read up on Hitler, the guy was a thug. The guy had been in jail. He wrote Mein Kampf in jail. He was a turd, for lack of a better term right now. He was a common thug.
And he
thug.
Was such a con man, and that's how he became the rise to power. He was a con man.
And he had the ability to convince people that their neighbors were against him. And people
absolutely.
Hated him.
Right.
And,
well, like you said, the same thing's going on here. It's going to be a forced, down-your-throat regime. This is how you're supposed to think. This is how things are happening. This is how it's going to be set up for the next 50 years. Nah.
Oh, yeah.
If you're simple-minded,
right,
then yeah.
Goebbels is going like, dude, they get it. And now the whole Stalinist regime, they're like, dude. They get it because that's exactly what's happening. So all the names that they're calling all that is a long, long ago trick that was used. And, I mean, for the first mouth breathers that turn around and call someone a Nazi, they're the very same ones using Nazi tactics.
Absolutely.
And they tend to forget that Nazi stands for Nationalist Socialist. Just saying.
Yep.
Absolutely. That's for the mouth breathers out there.
Oh, yeah.
But there we go again with folks that aren't educated on the facts. People that don't. And that was my thing about, the whole D-Day thing, is that though the intentions were good and genuine, like the young lady who told me to tell my dad thank you for his service and what he did. Though her intentions were genuine and her intentions were positive and thought-worthy, they were not correct. And, you know, it's kind of hard because you don't I won't correct somebody on their opinion. I can't stand broccoli. Maybe one of you guys do like broccoli. So am I wrong for not liking? Yes. Okay. So, Todd, that doesn't make you an idiot or a communist or anything else for liking broccoli. It's just the fact that you like it and I don't. Now, if you were to tell me that broccoli is red, I would stop you and say, oh, no, it's not. Because now it's not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of fact. So, you know, when you have these folks that don't educate themselves, and perhaps I'm geared a little different, as y'all are, I constantly am reading, constantly, and it's all useless knowledge to a certain extent. Don't get me wrong, I say useless in jest. You know, I'm the guy who sits on the toilet and reads for 45 minutes. But I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly reading more stuff. And after 51 years, stuff that I thought was going on, I read a different view of it, and I'm going, wow, you know, never thought about it that way. But I'm constantly self-educating, constantly trying to improve my mind, because when you have an improved mind, you can have an improved opinion and make improved decisions. And so, you know, when you have a day like D-Day that has such an impact globally, it actually changed history, for Christ's sake.
It sure did.
Yeah. And folks don't know the nuts and bolts of the invasion. Now, I understand. I'm not expecting everybody to be watching the History Channel every Tuesday night or something like that. That's not my point. But to know that there's a little more involved and what it became for us globally. And I just feel like, you know, sometimes folks don't take the time to self-educate, as I've preached on the show a million times. They spend too much time listening to what the Kardashians tell them, or Taylor Swift, or, you know, those old C-hacks on the view. Yeah.
And I need somebody to tell me if this is true. I saw a post on social media that said the Kardashians have been on TV for 20 years. Is that true?
I would reckon. I could stand here and tell you I've never seen
probably. I haven't either. I couldn't tell you either.
I mean, I can't tell you for sure, but it's probably pretty close.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
You know, of course, though, when you talk about time, I mean, Bindi Irwin just had a child, and I remember Steve Irwin dangling her in front of a crocodile and everybody being in a big uproar, and now here she is having children.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, we're all old. So,
yep. Yes,
so
we
I
are.
I can see where 20 years has eased on by. You know, as a matter of fact, SpongeBob. You know, we've even talked about SpongeBob for crying out loud. Rob watched SpongeBob when he was 2. Rob is now 22 years old, which makes SpongeBob, do the math, 20 years old at least. Who in the hell would have thought?
Probably older, but yeah. Yeah, right.
Man, that ball, I'm going to take something good about me not knowing that, other than just sheer, just being flabbergasted that it happened, is, man, clearly, being a dad for as long as I have been, and being married as long as I have been, I really do have the ability to tune things out.
That's funny. That's funny.
Just
that whole family, the amount of dysfunction in that family It's just absolutely horrendous. And
well, Caitlyn Jenner's going to be running for an office.
Oh, God.
Good luck with that.
Who else said that they were going to run for office today? Oh, God. What's
know.
Her name? From Charmed. God.
I ain't watched that either. I haven't watched that either, so I can tell you.
She was the one that played Arnold Schwarzenegger's daughter when she was a teenager on that one movie when Schwarzenegger went in there and shot everybody and got her out of God. Jesus, what's her name?
Are you talking about Alyssa Milano?
Ah, there you go, Granny Hulkster. Ding, 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 ding. You have won Final Jeopardy, young lady. Thank you. Alyssa Milano.
I'm going to vote for her because she would strip naked in movies, so I'll vote for her.
Oh, Lord, Delphine.
Just saying, if it's a beauty contest between her and Caitlyn Jenner, I think I'm going to take Bruce. I mean, Alyssa Milano.
The just asking for a friend.
Just saying.
Which movies? Why I'm bringing up my search engine?
Oh Lord.
I figured I'd take a lowest common denominator.
I got a counterpoint to Dave on what he was talking about earlier. Okay? Talking about the mouth breeders and all the these analogies. I'm not trying to make anybody mad or single out any demographic of people, anything. But you were taught broccoli was green. Right?
Right.
What if somebody on the other side of the world was taught that that was red? Who's right and who's wrong?
But if you know your damn colors, you can look at it yourself and go, it's green.
But if you're taught that black is blue, yellow is black, and green is red on the other side of the world, and that's how they're taught, and you're taught green, and the light at the top of the red light the highway light is red. You're taught that, but they're taught something different. That's where you divide and conquer people in a world is by doing that, because that's how you're going to have a scuffles, arguments, things like that. That's what is
exactly.
trying to happen today to us. See, but that's what they're trying to do to us today. They're trying to muddy the water so we don't understand what's going on. So they can go behind our back and go, hey, we got them. We got these suckers. No, you got those suckers. You didn't get the rest of us.
That's funny. Guys, I'm going to, damn, Velvet, you brought me on a true, honest tangent here. When you're talking about that whole part of that thing, Ronnie James Dio, when he was with Black Sabbath, the Heaven and Hell album, I remember some lyrics. They'll tell you black is really white and the moon is just the sun at night. And I'm going to do the lyrics kind of out of order. There was something about blind your eyes and fill your dreams, something like that from the Heaven and Hell song on the title track of the album. And, you know, seems like that cat was pretty prescient. Tell you the moon is really sun at night, yo. They'll blind your eyes and kill your dreams.
Right.
Sure enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. But guess what I am honestly and truly putting in my search engine? No, not Melissa. I'm putting in searching that album.
So, Dave, my question also would be this. Same concept. There is a select group of people that believed one way in this country that another certain people should be eliminated and vice versa. To me, that's
correct.
The same thing. So that's the same thing as saying, well, they're bad because they're that color, and you're bad because you're that color. And that's kind of the concept that I was going with, because I think, listen, the race card's played in this country. When there is no news, we have to always play that card. They don't want to let go of that card and say everything's hunky-dory, because once they do, there's no race. There's no, they can't use it anymore.
Right. The last thing they want is everybody getting along. It's just like the Weather Channel. Have you ever noticed on the Weather Channel that when there's threatening weather, be it tornadoes or hurricanes or you know, lightning or asshole deep snow or whatever, there seems to be a certain gleam in their eye, a certain damn pep in their step. You know, the shoulders are square. But when it's a beautiful, sunny day, they all seem to be kind of down in the dumps to tell you about it.
Right.
You ever notice that?
Yeah. That's the truth,
They're
though.
They're the only people that are pissed about a sunny day. You know, everybody else is like, hot damn, beautiful weather. Whereas the weather guys are like, well, just a little bit of clouds and 0% chance of rain. And
yeah. So how's traffic for us, Deborah?
You got me searching.
Yeah, exactly.
All I can think of the song is Dirty Laundry. Where old boy said something about the newscaster saying something with a gleam in her eye.
Yes. Tell you about the plane crash with a gleam in her eye. Yep, you're absolutely correct. And, you know, going back to what Velvet was saying about the current status with the trying to make a divide, it's funny how when 9/11 hit, and that was the thing that kind of bothered me about 9/11, is how everybody's hanging those yellow ribbons up. And Todd, you know, excuse me, you were around here, there around that time. And Christ, there were so many different ribbons. There was a pink ribbon for breast cancer. There was a yellow ribbon for 9/11. There was another colored ribbon for the guys over there in Afghanistan. And in the meantime, I'm thinking, okay, out of all these people with all these ribbons, how many of them actually conduct themselves in a genuine support of what, you know, what we had to do to straighten things out? You know what I mean? Was it just lip service, or did they actually mean it? And I think it was Charles Krauthammer, God rest his soul. I love the guy. His commentary was fantastic. And if I recall, he was the gentleman that said, unfortunately, we need to have a 9/11 every 20 to 30 years because it somehow brings everybody back to understanding what we're up against. And, you know, and I often wonder, speaking of the Normandy thing again, if that was to happen now, if that was to go down now, would we have the parades in the streets?
No.
Would we have the sailor kissing the random woman in the street and taking the picture that we've all seen? You know, of course, that gentleman would probably be convicted of some type of sexual assault or something like that. But nevertheless, it kind of concerns me that if something like that was to ever happen again, and folks, in the event that you think that genocide isn't happening, that we're so far ahead in 2021 that that kind of stuff doesn't happen, you're absolutely wrong. It still happens. There are still countries out there that, I mean, if you look at North Korea, for God's sake, I mean, that it's interesting how that little country is able to do what they do for as long as they have. I mean, North Korea is not, when you look at global geographics, you look at China, you look at the United States, you look at Russia, very, very large countries, very, very dense populations. I'll even throw India in that mix. We have a lot of coastline for naval activity, blah, blah, blah. Geographically speaking, we will be a superpower because of our size, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But you look at North Korea, that is landlocked to the north and south, and their western waters really aren't really impactful as much as their eastern waters would be. And how they've been able to manage their isolation and their rule for as long as they have is just a total anomaly. But if you believe that, you know, after the Holocaust, that will never happen again, you're absolutely wrong. And it's happening every day out there. And
God, it was still happening. It was still happening in Russia. There's stuff going on in China today that people just seem to be yielding.
Well, they were trying to do it worldwide with COVID.
Yeah, good point.
There it is. There's that too. We found our tangent, and yet somehow or other we're still staying relevant. That's kind of interesting. What a weird take to that. You can actually pull the string and stay on target. That's interesting that we got that going on for the show tonight. Ton of stuff with that. Of course, North Korea, they've had their mothers they could nurse off of, if you will, two of them. Between Russia and China, for sure. There's
right.
Just a million little things. And just for the record, I do look kind of some of the what if on the whole looking at history and doing things. I've done some of the certain games where they try to stay accurate with technology equipment, World War II based, and playing different things. But I've run scenarios where Germany's won. I've run a scenario because I didn't waste my Air Force on Britain. I found a way to sue for peace. Then I took out Russia. But Russia, just for the record, you know what really, one of the things that made them be able to take such a beating despite having just ravaged their officer corps, because Stalin didn't want anybody that was, you know, old regime to get in his way. He had destroyed his military leadership. Is they had one of the biggest, and it was pretty much up that you were going to be at least a reservist in the military. And that's the way they were able to deal with millions dead militarily and millions captured militarily.
Right.
And there today, wasn't here a whole we are with all volunteer force.
Yeah, and genders really didn't matter either. Though you didn't see females on the war front, females were still part of the machine. And, it was a different mindset with those guys. They had...
They were, and you're saying not necessarily on the front. They had some mighty fine snipers that were females.
Correct. Absolutely.
And now, I'm just guessing, my perspective, Granny, tell me if this would work for you since you haven't said anything in a bit. I'm guessing that for all the female snipers, they just said, think of every German as your ex-husband.
Now, that's funny.
Gonna shoot
that is
twice.
Funny. I mean, yeah, that is funny.
Jeez. Man, don't get the woman all stirred up. She might have a sniper rifle herself.
No, I don't. No. I don't even like, guys, I don't even like guns, okay? I don't like guns.
Right
I've had I actually had a family member, and this has happened several years ago, but she was a beautician by trade, and at the time she was married to my cousin. They had a five-year-old daughter, and he worked for the fire department. Well, she somehow got involved in some sort of religious cult, and she got brainwashed. And one night while Mark was at work, she took their daughter into the bedroom. She shot the little girl in the head and then shot herself.
Oh.
And I went over the next day because I was supposed to babysit. Crystal was the little girl. She was five at the time. And I get over there, and, I mean, police is everywhere, and they're bringing the bodies out of the house just as I get there. And, of course, you know, I'm trying to find my cousin. I finally found my cousin. He told me what happened, and I just – I have no use for guns. And a really good friend of mine, her niece actually was murdered here in Arkansas about a week and a half ago. And they're not sure who – well, it's probably been close to 2 weeks now, I guess, but they're not sure who actually they were trying to blame her husband at first, and they have a seven-year-old son. And so far, they're pretty sure that they know now that the husband did not do it, but they're still trying to determine who could have shot her in the back of the head.
I know that's ugly. I know that's ugly, and I'm not making light of it. And seriously, no kidding. I'm sorry for the loss, because certain tragedies have touched us all. Let me tell you, countries that have pretty much done a major ban on guns are now looking at bans on life. I would point out the woman that beat Cleaver to her family recently. It's got nothing to do with guns. Guns are an inanimate object. The most murders, if anybody that really goes out and looks, they're never comparing stats for people that home self-defense has worked with properly owned weapons. But they're not looking at the murders that happen with illegally owned weapons. They're just going to blame the weapons and never the person that actually does it. That's true.
Yeah, then they don't blame the people because, you know, as I say in jest, you know, Hank Aaron hit 755 home runs with a baseball bat. Negan bashed in skulls with Lucille on Walking Dead. It's still a baseball bat, and it's still used for great reasons and for nefarious reasons. But again, you know, it's one of those things where, and the bad news is that it falls back to the stability of the individual. And I know people a lot of times get upset when I go on that tangent, but for people like myself and like my son who own firearms and are very, very responsible and lawful in our ownership of firearms, if you have somebody who's not in the right frame of mind, they can do a lot of damage. But to Todd's point, they can do a lot of damage with anything. They can do a lot of damage with a knife. They can do a lot of damage with their words. We were just speaking on Hitler, for God's sake, what he was doing. You know, he didn't have to raise a weapon. He used his voice as a weapon in a roundabout manner of speaking. And so, you know, but of course, there we go. Talk about things that changed global history. Whoever the guy was who invented gunpowder, wasn't it like the Turks that invented it in like the 1400s or something like that?
China. I believe China.
Okay. We would still be out there doing the Braveheart, and we'd be having conversations about battle axes and broadswords and stuff like that because
battle axes, what's this got to do with XYs?
Oh. Yikes.
We're back to the X conversation.
There we go. It's the X Factor.
Good point.
Granny,
good
you
point.
Didn't see that one coming, did you?
Well, I never know what you guys are going to come up with, to be perfectly honest. I mean, sometimes it just amazes me what you guys come up with. And I just sit here and I listen because I'm just not sure what to say to what you guys are saying. I just sit back and enjoy listening to the conversation sometimes. Because sometimes it gets pretty funny, you know, so.
Very good. How many times do you use material that we pull out here for jokes in your life?
I don't think I've done it too many times, but, you know,
good
I
for
just.
You. Good for you.
Yeah, get yourself in trouble.
I figure it's safer that way, you know. I mean,
yeah, don't call me from jail.
Granny is the smartest one amongst us. Just saying,
yeah.
Holy crap.
I'm just saying, if you use anything I say, do not call me from jail. I do not know you, but I will put some money in your canteen for you. I'm going
to
use Todd for just saying.
I try to behave myself, okay? I try not to get into trouble. You know, I try to, although, like I said, and this is kind of off the subject, the last wrestling show I was at, and I don't know if I, because I haven't been on in a couple weeks, so I'm not sure if you all are aware of what I actually did at the last wrestling show I was at. It wasn't anything bad. No, you know, it was nothing bad. Okay?
Sure,
it was not Velvet. I'm throwing that out there. See, we had a big 15-man battle royal at WCWA, and then we had a debate between me and another fan of who the true champion should be, Magnificent Malico or Will Alday. Because Will Alday basically got handed the belt from the last show because Malico, the storyline was Malico was not there to defend the title because he had actually got run over by a car. And I still say Will Alday had something to do with it. Whether he did it or not, or he paid somebody to do it, he still had something to do with it. So then they get to the contract signing, and, you know, Will Alday's out there running his mouth and everything and saying how I'm his late-night snack. And I said, Will Alday, this is a family show. You know, we don't talk like that. People don't need to hear that. And, of course, you know, Malika comes out, and he's walking on crutches, and then all of a sudden this tag team comes out. I don't remember their names. I've never seen the guys before. I think maybe they've been there once before, but I don't remember their names. Anyways, Will Alday saying, okay, Malico, you signed this contract, and there's going to be consequences to pay. And Malico, he kneels down to the floor, and he says, Granny, I think we have us a challenge. Well, the three of them start beating him up, and they're hitting him with his crutches and bending the crutches all the heck. And Malico's like, Granny, I need your help. I need your help. Well, they didn't have the steps by the ring. And I said, somebody help me get me in this ring. Now, I know, okay, Granny knows I'm not supposed to do that, okay? But Malico was calling for my assistance. And Will Alday had totally, like, lost the crowd. The crowd was getting bored with Will Alday running his mouth. It was stretched out too long. I had to do something spontaneous to get that crowd back. Well, what do? I get in the ring, and Malico's grabbing my leg, hugging my leg, saying, oh, thank you, Granny, for coming to help me. And I'm standing there with this crutch, raising this crutch in the air. Will Alday, you're nothing but a piece of crap. And everybody just starts the Granny chant. Well, the promoter gets mad at the referee. Like, you shouldn't have allowed her to do that. Fans aren't supposed to be in the mat, you know, in the ring. Okay, I get his concept. Okay, I get his concept. But I really did that show a favor that night. Mm-hmm. And even the head trainer told me that, you know, what I did, there was nothing wrong with what I did. So, you know, I'm just saying, I had to stick up for my friend Malico, you know, and, but anyway, moving along, guys.
Something Granny said, Velvet, you still have a job. Don't feel bad that there's somebody else that's a head trainer.
Oh, ha, 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 ha.
Ooh, hey, man, I hear ya. Nice. You know what's bad is
you'll
something
right.
interesting about what Granny said about listening
well
what Velvet says and, you know, going off of all the words that Velvet tells her and he's guiding her thoughts. So if Berkowitz was the son of Sam, Granny would be the daughter of Velvet. How's that for a
there
name?
You go.
Sam Random
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Well, I couldn't quite be the daughter of Velvet, okay? Because Velvet, didn't you say you're only going to be 54 tomorrow?
But that's still funny. That is something.
I know, but see, Velvet, I'm going to be 59 in August, so I'm actually 5 years older than you.
Oh. You were adopted.
Let's start with the head
bosun. Okay. I was adopted.
Let's start with the head bosun and wormholes. Time travel is possible.
Oh, boy.
So.
That's true.
So, we can't necessarily actually rule this out. It might take a stretch of the imagination, but time travel is possible. And they definitely said time travel to the past is easier than time travel to the future.
We kind of
like
we
found out that.
Pistols.
Well, Donnie,
yeah, Michael J. Fox.
I'm on something here.
Hey, I just watched the Back to the Future marathon over the weekend not too long ago. So, you know.
If I was Marty McFly, I'd be mortified because you go back in time and you're trying to put the hooks in your mom. You know what I mean? Isn't there a certain degree of creepiness to that?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, that's your mom. Marty. Come on. I love my mom to death, but if I'm going to go back to the time when mom was a teen or early 20s, damn if I'd look her up and go hubba hubba. You know what I mean? I'd be like, look,
right.
This Marine over here,
Marty.
This Bob Atwell guy, you need to talk to this guy, because if you don't talk to this guy, there's no me. So get on it.
Yeah. Marty, you can't mess up the timeline, Marty. Don't do it, Marty.
Yes. Whatever you do. My God. That's funnier than hell. Well played.
Oh man. We have,
that was
we,
good.
We have definitely lost the freaking bubble. The
No, that thing got popped, brother.
I will mention it's 13 after, just saying. Just saying.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. And it will be time to pass around. We'll have some closing thoughts and pass it around. Now, Todd and Granny, I'll tell you, going off of tonight's conversation, you guys missed one last week. If you didn't get a chance to go back and listen to the show, we actually took a list of conspiracies, urban legends, and that kind of stuff. And between Velvet, Todd, and myself, we...
No, Tim. It was me, you, and Tim. Todd was not on.
Tim. And...
Tim, yes. In this case, you spell Todd, T-I-M.
Okay.
What threw me off was that he was outstanding and ecstatic to be there in Supernatural last week.
Yeah.
So
a weird
Todd in a surrogate way, kind of like I'm Dr. John. So, yeah. So, I mean, there's a certain amount of parallel there. But, yeah, last week you guys missed out on one because we were voting yes or no to certain urban legends and everything. And, we actually had a pretty good laugh out of some of the stuff. But yeah, it came along pretty good. It was something else, and which kind of gave me the boost for doing this evening show. I know sometimes the serious shows don't go over so well and all, but thought tonight's went along well. So
I say we do a part two of the show. I think we do a part two of the show we did last week, if we can get more people on, I think that'd be awesome.
I couldn't agree more because
I think we could do a variation of this one. But
true.
Following that line of thought, Diamond Dave, you had a thought for next week. Were you able to get hold of our boy?
Now, I have not, but I will kindly ask you to get out of my head because that's exactly what I was getting ready to speak on. damn you, Todd. Yes, next week we will be doing a dad episode,
and
we will be sharing dad jokes, dad stories, dad this, dad that, and our good friend Josh Mayers. And two of his friends actually have a new podcast on Spotify that is about – they kind of do an amalgam of pop culture stuff and being a dad. And I've listened to several of their shows, and what's so interesting about their shows is that all of these guys are quote-unquote rookie dads. All of them have children that are in the –
two, four, six
ballpark. And the whole time I'm listening to this podcast, I'm laughing and I'm going, you know, doing the old, got a cigar hanging out of my mouth. Ah, those guys, they know nothing about growing up kids. They don't know nothing. Because it's funny listening to them and...
That's me, old pappy.
Yeah. What's funny, though, is that you're listening to that with all that behind you, and you almost want to yell to these guys, hey, get ready for this. Hey, get ready for that. So we're going to try to get Josh on here next week to promote his podcast. And also, for a young man that I met 5 years ago, matter of fact, it was 5 years ago last month, and I've seen that young man blossom, not only professionally in his art, but I've seen him blossom as a man. And I've seen him become one hell of a dad, one hell of a stepdad. And as we've covered on the show before, stepdad is got to be one of the most tacky terms on the planet, because any man slash woman who is willing to open their hearts and their wallets and their homes to children that are not of their blood have a very special place. You know what I mean? It takes a...
Absolutely.
It takes a certain degree of bravery. It also takes a certain degree of insanity, which I'll raise my hand to that, to raise children that are not your own. Because it's more of a political thing than it is a rearing thing. You know what I mean? Whereas my folks, when they raised me and my brother, they called the shots. There was no second opinions. What they said went, no politics. You know what I mean? Whereas when you're a parent of a child from another relationship, you find yourself having to deal with what the other asshole is doing and either trying to build off of that or repair it, as the case may be. But Josh, of course, is one of those young men that was playing, you know, has to play both roles, and he has done one hell of a job. And I couldn't be prouder of him. And every time I talk to him, it does my heart good to see him doing well, because he's really, in 5 years, has just – his stock has gone through the roof, in my opinion. So I'm going to try to get him on next week if time permits for him. And looking forward to doing one hell of a show with a lot of laughs. And so bring your dad jokes. Bring your good dad stories.
Ryan.
And
right my
and Granny Hulkster. Yes.
Yes,
despite
sir.
Despite you being a mom, Granny Hulkster, I'm sure you got plenty of dad stories going on. So, yes,
well,
bring them,
you
please.
Know, and, well, that being said, I mean, I have dad stories. But, see, for 23 and a half years, I was a single mom before I remarried. So I was being mom and dad to my son until, you know, David came, the man I'm married to now, came into our lives, you know. So, you know, we, David and I will be married 12 years in December.
Let's clear this for the record. And, it is not
and
me. Not David.
And, no, not, no, Abel, no. My wonderful husband, David Burt. I mean, we got together in, we met each other in 1999. We got together, we started dating in December 19th of 2003, and we got married December 19th of 2009. So my son is 34 now, so my son was in his 20s when my husband and I got married. So, you know, and I'll share those stories next week with everybody. But so yeah, awesome. I was mom and dad for 23 and a half years.
Hey, Granny, quick thought here. Make sure you let us know when your anniversary is, because I think we all need to get a sympathy card for your hubby.
I just said what my wedding anniversary was, Todd.
He doesn't listen.
Yeah.
He's got a cute.
No, he
doesn't
listen. He'll have to go back and listen to
the
show.
Ear.
You know.
Oh
man.
December 19th.
Oh, yeah. It was about the joke. It was about the joke. Now, I got to touch on something Johnny Dave said earlier. He said something about getting out of his head. So I was on a phone call a little bit earlier with well over $1 million of annual payroll. How the heck I'm on one of those phone calls, don't ask me. And
knee pad.
Two of us were saying the same thing. And I mentioned in front of everybody, I was like, I told my workmate, I'm going to have a job change. We won't be directly associated business-wise as much as we were. I said in front of everybody, get out of my head, Heather. Big nod to Heather Terry. I said, because you know that's not a safe place to be. And despite the payroll on there and the high level of business acumen, you would not believe the laughter that one brought. There were some people that were just they lost one.
Good.
Enter at your own risk.
Right?
So we got another 7 minutes before we start going into extra innings. So I'm going to go ahead and pass it around to everybody to get their parting shots and plugs in this evening. So we are going to start with the wonderful, outstanding Granny Hulkster. What have you got to say to the crowd?
Well, I just hope that everybody has a great rest of the week. Be safe. It was a very warm day here in Springdale, Arkansas. It was in the 90s today here, guys, and I do not like those hot temperatures. I like cooler temperatures. So make sure you're outside. Make sure you're drinking plenty of water, keeping yourself hydrated, because it's not fun getting heat stroke, okay? So just throwing that little health tidbit out there. But no, seriously, just be good to each other, love each other, be safe, just be good to each other, and, you know, just love you guys. I just love everybody, you know, so.
Outstanding. Yeah, good to have you back this evening. We missed you last week, so, yes, very well said, and we appreciate you joining us this evening, Granny Hulkster. So, Velvet, Carolina Wrestling Hall of Fame inductee, what have you got to share with us?
Welcome to WKRP in Cincinnati. We're going to head on over to Les Nessman, who's high in the sky looking at traffic. Traffic's pretty good.
Are you pounding your chest as you do it?
Yes, I was. Because I have a chest. Oh.
Damn.
Not a bird chest. Anyway. All right, all right. I have no clue what's going on pro wrestling interviews on Sunday this week. We'll figure that out. I don't. I have no clue. I don't have a guess. I had to bail on Sunday, and Adam ended up taking over me. I had one of my doctors that I've known since I've been 18 pass away over the weekend.
Oh, God.
So I had to deal with some of that and some moving some stuff around and all that this week. So other than that, no, I think everybody on this show is in tune. We have fun. We get each other's little dry humor and our slide remarks and all that stuff. I love it. I think it's great. I think this is something that that we need throughout the week, and it's not serious to the point that we're going to have an argument, because that's never happened, and I don't foresee that happening ever. So I love this group here. I love to be a part of it, and it's fun. So that's all I got.
I got something to say really quick. You know, when you all were talking about dysfunctional family, I remember one time I was talking to one of my – well, that's part of it. Yeah, you're right about that, Velvet. No, one of my very good wrestling friends that I've known for many years, we were at a wrestling show one night. I said, well, you know, you all are family to us. And he says, yeah, a dysfunctional one. And, you know, his wrestler character name, he went by the name of Slug. S-L-U-G-G, you know, but he was a heck of a wrestler back in the day. I don't even know if he even wrestles anymore or not. I know he hasn't done so in quite some time, but yes, this family definitely falls under the category of dysfunctional for sure. So,
thank you.
But I love it. I love you all.
We got that going for us.
Yes, there are some perks to being us. They're not many, but they're there. So, Tom, what have you had this evening?
Okay, I feel like I have way more things than normal, and I'm watching the clock hard here so we don't do extra innings. The Velvet, happy birthday, brother.
Thank you, Dave.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Look, seriously, David, you know, look, COVID and the other stuff going on or not, damn it, it's going to be really hard. The next screening, I'm going to reach for the hug one way or the other. The
Yeah, we are.
Team, thank you for my weekly, as absurd as this sounds, sanity.
It is sanity. Not serenity.
As insane as we are, this is a sanity check. I want to give just a quick reminder, thoughts, prayers, good karma, Tim Armstrong.
Yes.
Tim, hang in there and
yes.
Keeping the good
thing
that you are. The, with the health and stuff, hang in there, mate.
Yeah, man.
The, I know you will keep on keeping on. But there's always an ear here. The
always, I know.
My family, my blood. You poor bastards, you're stuck with me. thanks for everything you do. Stay smart out there. Big hugs, Diamond Dave, all yours.
Yes, and echo, hear to what Todd just said. Tim, family, you guys are always in our thoughts. We hope everything is going well.
For sure. Continued prayers.
And no doubt. We have got you spiritually and got you everything but financially, because I have nothing. That's the good news about me, that nobody's going to steal my identity because I'm broke.
Yeah, me neither.
You go up there to the register with your three packs of ramen noodles, and the girl says, would you like to donate $5 to a good cause? And, damn, I'm eating a damn $1.29 dinner. I ain't got
$5.
Them,
I would like you to donate to a great cause. Me, I could use the $5. I won't be eating ramen noodle right now.
I mean, if something is free, I can't afford it. So, yes, I mean, Tim and family, we are definitely thinking about y'all and wishing nothing but the best for you guys. And, again, we are there thinking about you. And Velvet, a big,
yeah,
huge, massive congratulatory 54th birthday, my brother. Good to have you here. Good to have
man.
You around. And
yep,
nothing but good vibes going your direction. And hope you celebrate well because, you know, every minute counts. And, you know, it's funny, next week, and, you know, we're going into extra innings here, so bear with us. Next week, being a dad episode, picture it being funny, but I picture it being a gut punch just the same.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Agreed. Agreed.
You know, so, you know, bring the tissues. We're all going to be, you know, or you can fake it like I do and blame it on seasonal allergies in January.
Or bring
tuck pants and depends.
And just watch the Geico commercial. It's all good.
Pollen. Yes. But, yeah, it's great to have you here. Great to hear you celebrating another birthday tomorrow. And, by God, live it up and enjoy it. Hell, yeah. Hear, hear.
We have a gentleman family.
Otherwise,
so we're good.
I would just
yep.
like to, again, as Todd always says, stay smart. And as I always say, self-educate. Don't believe everything that the Kardashians tell you, despite their 20-plus years in television. they are not the benchmark for functional living, despite their wealth. Trust me. So I am a much richer man, and perhaps I should save this for next week, but just food for thought. If I've got 38 cents in my checking account, but I own my house at 51. I own my vehicles at 51. I've been with the same woman for almost 26 years. Both of my children are graduating and successful. I have four wonderful grandchildren. That 38 cents in the checking account makes me the richest man on the planet. So,
and you didn't become a lady.
Sir.
Amen, but you didn't go from Bruce to Caitlin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Who needs a checkbook anyway? I mean, who wants to balance that crap? I mean, it's not a headache, man. You're better off just having nothing,
you
know?
If you have a checkbook that says 38 cents in there, I want to see that.
I need to forward you guys the Louis C.K. skit about being broke. It's on YouTube.
Oh,
it is
absolutely he's funny. He's a trip, yeah.
I mean, it will have you in tears because it's so matter of fact. But nevertheless, a wonderful show again tonight, boys and girls.
Yep.
We're very well done. And like Todd always says, you know, stay smart, stay safe, stay smart, and try your level best to do good for folks and to get along. People guide you into feeling something that you don't feel. Don't let people make you feel that you are a villain when you're not. And if you are being a villain, own it and straighten your ass out. Enough said. Right? So,
yes, sir.
With all that said, I am going to sneak into Atwell Manor here, cue in that obnoxious British lady, and end tonight's show.
I'm going to bed.
Oh, that was Dale just informed me she was going to bed for the audience out there. Good night, dear. And
good night.
Oh, there's good night in the crowd. That's good. That's outstanding when you bring the whole family in on the show. Outstanding. So thank you again, everybody, for listening. Pop Culture Stars this evening. Be safe and be friendly. We will talk to you next week for the Big Dad episode.
Right.
Bring your dad jokes, damn it. Talk to you guys in a bit.
All right. Cool. All right. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Big hugs.